Brother Aaron's wife, welcoming you to today's edition of Fresh Fire Ministries. I hope that you've made your plans to stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we once again worship the Lord through the old-fashioned preaching of His precious Holy Word. I would like to remind you that the Fresh Fire Ministries radio broadcast is a listener-supported faith ministry, which means we are dependent upon the prayers and financial support of our listeners, just like you, to pay for airtime and production costs associated with this ministry. My husband and I take no salary from this ministry. In fact, we are financial supporters just like you. This is simply a labor of love for us. So if you enjoy these programs, I encourage you to become a financial supporter with us. No amount is too small and none is too large. And remember, all financial gifts are tax deductible. Also, we would love to be in service with you. I ask that you prayerfully consider having Brother Aaron come and preach for your next homecoming, revival, men's meeting, or even a regular Sunday service. It would be his honor to come. To correspond with us, you may call us locally at 706-302-9162 or toll free 1-800-511-9536. Our email, freshfire@mindspring.com. Or you may visit us on the web at www.freshfireministries.com. And always the regular mail, 1141 East Main Street in Hogansville, Georgia, 30230. Thanks for tuning in today. Now here's my husband, Brother Aaron, to tell you about today's broadcast.
Thank you, sweetheart, for that wonderful introduction. I appreciate you so very, very much, and you do a great job at doing these intros each week. And I know that folks like to know where we're going to be each week so they can join us whenever possible. Let me make you listeners aware that on March the 5th at 11 a.m., I'll be preaching at the Highland Baptist Church up in Hogansville, Georgia, filling the pulpit for my good friend, Brother Terry Rainwater. So I invite you to come be with us at 11 o'clock on Sunday the 5th at the Highland Baptist Church in Hogansville, Georgia. All right, well, today we're going to continue on with the sermon series I've been preaching, that I preached in revival recently at the Mountville Baptist Church. The title of the series was Discovering the Way Forward. This would be the third sermon in that, and I entitled it, Just Do the Next Logical Thing. Hope you get a blessing out of the broadcast today. But tonight I've entitled this sermon, Just Do the Next Logical Thing. As we look at the context of the text scripture regarding the children of Israel at the Red Sea, we find God has just brought them out of Egyptian slavery. He commands Moses then to tell them to camp in a place, the place where they are, the most untenable place he could have put them. And in this scripture tonight, they're still in that most untenable place. The Red Sea is still ahead of them. The wilderness is still on either side. And Pharaoh's still coming up from behind them. Now God tells Moses to tell them to do the next logical thing. You know what God told Moses? Tell them, go forward. Go forward. And I know you're saying, logical, huh? That's the most illogical thing he could have told them to do. Really? Really? Let's put this story in context tonight. Do a little history. There was a death sentence when Moses was born on all the little Hebrew boys. But the midwives decided they'd rather obey God than they had the Egyptians. And Moses was spared. Now let me ask you, was that logical? Then we go on with the story. His mother floated him down the Nile River in a raft. And guess what? He come to rest at Pharaoh's daughter's feet. And she took him in as her son. Was that logical? Getting all over me tonight. God made Pharaoh raise him and educate him. Was that logical? Moses killed an Egyptian and had to flee to Egypt. And while there, he met his wife, or had to flee from Egypt. And while there, he met his wife and became a shepherd for 40 years And you got to understand, this is royalty. This is of the house of Pharaoh. This is a well-educated man. And for 40 years, he was a shepherd. Is that logical? No. No. Then God appears to Moses in a burning bush that wasn't consumed. Was that logical? No, we wonder, was that even possible? I'm going to tell you tonight, fire wasn't unexplainable. A bush on fire wasn't unexplainable. Even a bush spontaneously combusting in the desert wasn't unexplainable. What was unexplainable was it wasn't consumed. It didn't burn up. God sends Moses to Pharaoh with the message to let his people go, followed by all sorts of plagues. Was that logical? No. Now they have not only come out of Egypt. The Israelites came out of Egypt with a handsome cache of all the Egyptian gold. I don't know if you caught this or not. They didn't just come out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt rich. Rich. Was that logical? No. No. I'm going to tell you what, I never owned a slave, never will own a slave. But if I had owned a slave and I set them free, I ain't about to give them all Mary Ann's rings. Amen. But they did. It wasn't logical. Now, when you examine the command that God gave Moses in the light of what I've just described to you, is it logical? Absolutely. Absolutely. In the specter of what God does and how he operates, it was logical. Can't you hear a conversation maybe that was going on between two of them Jews? I believe one of them might have been saying to the other one, I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here, God's going to open that sea up and we're going to walk through it. The other one says, well, how you reckon he's going to do it? Another one replied, I don't know, but he's going to make a way out of no way. That's how he's going to do it. He's going to put his glory on display. I'm glad I guess I just need to sit down and squall and go ahead and get it over with. But I'm glad that I still serve that same God tonight. And as crazy as it may sound for me to say this, sometimes the next logical move in our lives is the most illogical one you could ever dream. May I submit to you that following God does not always make sense. He'll lead you in ways and in times and in places when you will swear that God has lost his mind, only to come to the end of it and see where every step of the way it makes perfect sense. I heard it once said, life has to be lived going forward, but can only be understood looking backward. We don't have the full picture. We see through a glass darkly. And sometimes the most logical move for us seems like the most illogical. But we have to trust that there's a God in heaven who's in control. And he said, I know my thoughts toward you. They're for good and not evil. He said, I want to prosper you. I read in the Bible time after time where Jesus did the most illogical things. He was born of a virgin. Was that illogical? Yeah. As I preached last night, he broke all protocol by calling his own disciples instead of allowing them to petition him. And by the way, I remind you that these disciples of his were those who flunked out of rabbi school and wasn't doing real good in the family fishing business. And God called them and said, I'm going to change the world with you. What can he do with us tonight? anything he desires. I read where he healed a blind man. He could have just said, be healed. But you know what he did? The Bible said he spat in the ground, made clay, put it on his eyes and told him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And you'll see. Illogical. Why didn't he just say, abracadabra and you're healed? I don't know. He does things in illogical ways. There was a man who could not talk. He was dumb. They brought him to Jesus. You know how Jesus chose to heal him? This is gross. But Jesus took his spit, stringer spit, told him stick your tongue out or something. I don't know exactly how he did it. But he put his spit on his mouth. How many of us would fire a doctor over that? Amen. But you know what? God healed him. It was illogical. He took many things and did them illogical. And on I can go, but you get the picture. Again, sometimes the most illogical move is the logical move for us. As I was writing this sermon, I thought about Marianne and me. She and I are a case study in the most illogical thing being the next logical thing. June the 8th of this year, we'll celebrate 43 years of marriage. I remember when I first met her and was smitten by her. But neither she nor I could see the whole picture of our relationship at that moment. She was 15, I was 18. She was the most gorgeous creature that I had ever seen, and I was the most handsome hunk she had ever seen. So I did the next logical thing. Y'all know what that is? I asked her on a date. Got a date with her, and she accepted. And then I did the next logical thing. Sharon gonna go to laughing up here because Sharon witnessed all this from her front porch. That's another story for another time. But then I did the next logical thing. I got my first kiss. And folks, let me tell y'all something. When I kissed that woman for the first time, it was all over with for her after that. Telling you. Then I did the next logical thing. We went on more dates and I got more kisses. Then I did the next logical thing. I fell in love with her. And then I did the next logical thing. I proposed to her, got her to go steady with me. And then the next, I proposed to her. And then the next, I married her. Then we did the next logical thing. We started having babies. Then we did the next logical thing. We bought a house and carved out careers while raising our babies, and life happened. Then we did the next logical thing. We married our babies off. Amen. And then we did the next logical thing. We became grandparents and now great-grandparents. And now we've done the next logical thing. We've gotten old. And Marianne is joyously looking forward to the next logical thing in her life, her retirement. She knows the years, months, days, hours, minutes, and seconds. But who is counting? And before too much longer, we'll do the next logical thing in our lives. You see, autumn's drawing on. Mike, the same one that I got all Twitter pated over when I first saw her, is the same one I want to sit on the porch beside her in a rocker holding her hand and saying, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't change much of anything, and I'd still choose to do it with you. But all of our lives have been lived going forward, experiencing life, making mistakes. Yeah, we've made our share of them. But we got some things right. And while all along the way watching God reveal His will in our lives. One step at a time, as we just simply did the next logical thing. Now I want to quickly give you three things that should govern our lives when we find ourselves in an untenable situation like the children of Israel. Number one, we must purpose in our heart to go as we are led of God. We must purpose in our heart to go as we are led of God. Exodus 14, 1 and 2 again. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pirathon, between Migdol and the sea, and over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Then Exodus 14, 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Two things I want you to see here real quick. God told Moses to tell the children of Israel to camp. You know what the truth of that scripture is? What he did, he was led of God to do. The second thing, God told Moses, tell the children of Israel, go forward. You know what the truth of that scripture is? Moses did what he was led of God to do. And I'm here to tell you tonight that we need to do that which we are led of God to do. And listen to me, if you're not led of God to do it, leave it alone. Amen. Now I want to park here for about 15 seconds. Some folks want to preach and God ain't called you to preach. Leave it alone. Some want to sing. God ain't called you to sing. Leave it alone. God want to teach. God ain't called you to that. Leave it alone. Some want to do this, that, or that. Leave it alone. You know what the secret to life is, of happiness in this way? Doing as you have been led of God to do. And you've got a place. You've got a niche that only you can fill. And you know where you need to be? Where God has led you. Doing what God has called you to do. When He's called you to do it. With a good attitude. Amen. There are many things you can say about Moses, but one thing we have to acknowledge, he only went as he was led to go. Let me quickly read Nehemiah 9, 19 through 21. It says, yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light, and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not the manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lack nothing. Their clothes wax not old, and their feet swelled not. Oh, Lord, have mercy. 40 years walking around in the wilderness. The shoes didn't wear out. Clothes didn't fall off them, and their ankles and feet didn't even swell. That's the God I serve tonight. Amen. Where God guides, He provides. His will never lead us where His grace cannot sustain us. Amen. I don't know what God's doing in this place tonight, but He's here. Amen. I don't know what God's speaking to you tonight, but I want you to hear me say that again tonight. He'll never lead you where He can't sustain you. Amen. Where He guides, He provides. You look at something and you say, Brother Aaron, there's no way. What do you think those children of Israel were standing and thinking as they looked at the Red Sea and the wilderness and Pharaoh? They were saying, there ain't no way. God had to remind them, I am.
Amen.
I'll make a way where there is no way. I'll do what cannot be done. There's nothing. My hand is not shortened that it cannot reach you wherever you are. And I don't know tonight, Brother Dwayne, but I just feel like somebody in this place tonight may look like they've got the Red Sea in front of them. Wilderness on either side, and the devil has come. The hounds of hell have been unleashed. And you're saying it's bigger than me, Brother Aaron. I can't. No, you can't. But God can.
Amen.
God can. And he can reach you wherever you are. And I'm thankful tonight. I don't know why I'm saying this. But I'm thankful tonight that I serve a God who gives living grace. And he gives dying grace.
Amen. Glory.
Sometimes the places he leads us are most difficult. We cannot see the way around. We cannot see the way under. And we can't see a way over. So God just takes us through it. He led Noah through the flood, Moses through the Red Sea in the wilderness. He led Joseph through a pit, Potiphar's house, and a prison. He led Paul and Silas through a Philippian jail. And he led Jesus through Calvary. Church, I don't care how scary or foreboding your situation may appear. You will discover your way forward when you once again purpose in your heart to go as God has led you to go. Go where the bushes are burning. Regardless of who remains on the sidelines, you get back in the game. Go back to the cutting edge and the exciting edge of ministry. And thank God that there is excitement in ministry. I'd rather do what I'm doing to eat when I'm hungry, and you can tell I don't miss a meal. And ask God to give you a vision for something so magnificent for him that it's doomed to fail except he intervenes. We discover the way forward when we purpose in our heart to go as we are led of God. But number two, we discover the way forward when we purpose in our heart to go when we are led of God. When? Exodus 14:15 again. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. The children of Israel could only move when God gave the command. And you know what? I'm going to put this in Aaron English. You know what the Lord told Moses? He looked at him and said, boy, tell them to go now. Now. Don't wait till next week. Don't tell them to wait a month from now. But now is the time for them to move. You know what we miss a lot? When God says, move. Do what you're going to do for me now. And we'll say, God, let me get my bills paid off. God, let me get my children out of school. God, let me get over this little cold I've got. God, let me, and God's saying, no, come on now. And you say, I ain't ready. And God says, come like you are. Amen. How many of you know that God's timetable is often different from ours? We often mess things up because, not because we do the wrong thing, but because we do the right thing at the wrong time. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. And when he says, go, go, and don't jump the gun. I've seen some folks, and I've made the statement literally about them. They're so fast and so quick and so involved in everything. I tell folks, I said, when they be good Christian folks. I said, when they die, they ain't going to go to heaven. Somebody look at me and say, why? I said, they're so excited and running so fast and so far ahead of everybody else, they're going to run slap right on by it. Amen. Got to learn to wait on God. Psalms 27:13, I have fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the land of the living, right here. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Job 14:14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. We must wait and go when we're led. There's one more thing I want to give you tonight, and I'll be through in just a few minutes. Number three, you discover the way forward when we purpose in our heart to go where we are led of God, as implausible as it may seem. The way God led the children of Israel was an impossible path. But how many of you know the Bible says that what's impossible with man is possible with God? Amen. But it was the way he led. And though it made no sense, they had no choice but to go forward. They went into the impossible and the implausible and that which they did not understand. Has God ever led you to a place where you just looked around and said, God, I don't understand this? God says, newsflash, not necessary that you understand. Just trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Brother Dwayne, I don't know about you, but I'm so far over my head and what God's got me doing that if he just dropped one eyelash or wiggled it, I'd go down like a flaming Japanese zero. It don't make sense. But God can do what God wants to do with what God wants to do with. Listen, there's things I don't understand. I said, why me? Why do you want me to preach? Why do you want me to pastor? Why do you want me to be an associational missionary? Why do you want me to take controversial stands so that I can have be like a lightning rod and get struck? God said, it ain't necessary that you understand. You just do what I tell you to do. Mike, I know your daddy. Mama loved him like my own. But I tell you something about your daddy. Your daddy didn't care what your opinion was when he told you to do something. All he expected you to do is just shut up and go do it. Amen. Amen. I had one like that too. The 19th century theologian C.H. McIntosh, now listen to what I'm going to tell you, believed that the Red Sea did not divide all at once. Now, you got to understand, I said the 19th century theologian, you got to understand he did not have the advantage of television like we do, and he's never seen Cecil B. DeMille's production of the Ten Commandments. And he's never seen how the sea stands up that way. And he does not know how uncanny it is and how much Charlton Heston and Moses look alike. You know what he said? We're getting to the meat of this now. Give me 5 more minutes. Rather, he believed it opened progressively as the children of Israel moved forward into the impossible, the unexplored, the unexplained, the implausible. As they moved forward, he believed that it opened up so that they had to trust God for each fresh step. Now listen to what Mike McIntosh said. He said, God never gives guidance for 2 steps at the same time. He said, I must take one and then I get light for the next. He said, this keeps the heart in abiding dependence on God.
Friend, this is Brother Aaron. It's my prayer that something you've heard on the broadcast today has spoken to your heart. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today would be a wonderful day to meet Him. Let me tell you, there's no magic words to pray. Just simply the best way you know how, call on God in prayer and ask Him to come into your heart and your life and be your Lord and Savior, and He'll do that. Perhaps you know Him as your Savior but haven't been living for Him, then again, there's no magic words. Just the best way you know how, from the very bottom of your heart, call out to the Lord and ask Him to restore to you the joy of His salvation in your life. And my friend, I promise you, if you'll do that in faith, either one, He'll be faithful to come into your heart and life and restore life to you.
We would love to have the opportunity to stand with you in prayer. So give us a call at 706-302-9162 or 1-800-511-9536
and tell us if you prayed either one of those prayers. And also, visit us on the web, www.freshfireministries.com.
All right, hope to see you next week right here. Bye-bye.